Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters.
Keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And joining me over the phone is the mayor of the regional municipality of Wood Buffalo, Don Scott. Don, how are you doing today?
No, I'm doing well. I'm hanging in there. There's been lots of challenges in our region, but there's lots of reasons for optimism going forward.
We're a couple days late, as we usually have you on right after the council meeting, but we had to push back until today. But there's still a few topics we're hoping to chat with you about. And the one that's been making... It's on most people's minds right now, not even just in the community, but just across the country. And that comes up to residential schools. And we've been seeing a lot of different events locally to keep the conversation going about the past injustices and all the victims, those who made it home and those who didn't, from residential schools. And we do know that there was one in the region, Holy Angels, up in Fort Chippewa. I know that there was a walk by the Chippewa Prairie Dene First Nation members that started on Canada Day, and they made it to Fort McMurray on Wednesday. And then there was a memorial that was held throughout the day at the SNI. In recognition, and you know, individuals had a chance to learn more about Indigenous culture and history. I could easily start off with just getting your thoughts on everything, and I think that's pretty self-explanatory. But I'm curious as to what do you think needs to happen next when it comes to improving our relationship with Indigenous peoples when it gets to when we're talking about truth and reconciliation.
Yeah, I would say there's a couple different steps that everybody should be thinking about. The first is listening. And Indigenous people have a lot of thoughts on all these issues, and I would encourage everyone to listen carefully. And I've engaged with a lot of our Indigenous leadership throughout the region. I was at the walk a few days ago. I thought that was a really important event to stand in solidarity with all those Indigenous folks and all the others who were there to support. But there's a lot of listening that needs to be done. So that's one of the critical things. And then the second thing is the phrase truth and reconciliation is often used as the path forward. And what I want to emphasize is there's the first component, which is truth. There's some things that need to be confronted, and residential schools is obviously and clearly one of them. We had one in our region, and we had Indigenous leaders in this region and Indigenous folks in this region who attended that school who are with us today and can tell stories about it. I've talked to several, and it is very revealing. And I would encourage anyone, if you have the opportunity, please go to an event where there's Indigenous people talking about their own experiences, whether it's residential schools or otherwise, because I think we all have a lot to learn. And then reconciliation can follow. But I think right now, listening is going to be critical, and then hearing what the truth of the past has been, and then you can chart a path forward.
I've been hearing stories from survivors for a few years now, ever since I moved up here to Fort McMurray and really had a chance to meet one-on-one with some of these individuals. And I didn't really know much about it coming over from Ontario. I can't remember really learning about it. And, you know, hearing stories for the first time, it really kind of shocked me that had happened and I didn't really know about it. Was that kind of the same situation for you? Because I hear that's a situation for a lot of people, is that they haven't really heard much about it, and then all these discoveries of unmarked graves are really starting to maybe shine a light on what actually happened.
Yeah, it's a devastating part of Canada's history. It's something that I have been aware of historically. Because I was part of the Law Society, they have various training programs, and just because of my past, I had encountered a lot of information to do with it. But I would say the main way that I've learned is by listening and speaking with Indigenous people all over Canada at various times in my life. But the most revealing times that I've had, what to really understand what's happened, has been listening to the people in our region, in Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, because they know it firsthand. They've experienced it firsthand, and they have a lot to say about it.
We know that the province is looking to allocate some funds to help indigenous communities across the province search for unmarked graves at former sites. And we know that up in Fort Chipewyan, the Miccosu Cree First Nation, Athabasca Chipewyan First Nation, and the Fort Chipewyan Métis are aiming to search the old Holy Angels site. Have there been any talks with the municipality potentially about any funding that they can offer to make sure that they can actually move forward with this project?
No, there's been no request yet. They did alert me, a few of the indigenous leaders in the region have alerted me that there are discussions underway with other levels of government, and then the announcement was made later. So I presume from that 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 was, played a part in that. But we obviously have a residential school. There's obviously concerns related to what's happening as far as what's being found in other provinces and in other places. And we want to see if we have the same situation here. No one's made a request to the municipality, but I think it would be given very serious consideration if it was made by all of council. But it's something that I would anticipate might happen in the future. It just hasn't happened yet.
We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but when we come back, we're going to continue our talk with Mayor Don Scott.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Mayor Don Scott. And before the break, we were talking about residential schools and the path towards truth and reconciliation. And Don, I want to talk a little bit about COVID-19. You know, fingers crossed, knock on wood, it's starting to really look like we've finally hit that light at the end of the tunnel. We're in stage 3 across the province. There are virtually no restrictions in place anymore. There are a few for those who have to go to a continuing care facility. And of course, you still have to self-isolate if you do test positive. But in the last, I guess it's 9 days since stage 3 has come in, have you had a chance to talk to any local businesses and just, get their thoughts now moving forward and how their recovery might look like?
Yeah, there's a lot of optimism from what the folks that I've been talking to. There's been a little bit of, they just want to clarify the rules. Every now and then I get questions about the rules and whether there's mask wearing rules that are in place. And there is no mask wearing rule that I'm aware of anywhere in Alberta at this time. It's completely eliminated. So I kind of clarify that. Not everybody is following the news like others. So I often clarify rules, but there's a real sense of optimism going forward. People are ready to get back to doing what this region does best, which is making money, providing opportunities for others, and being the economic engine of Canada. It is a phrase that was used with me. I probably heard it 30 times in the last 7 days, not only from businesses, but from visiting leaders, from everyone. We're really restoring our economic place in Canada. As soon as this was over, I could just feel things kickstart back into gear. We're really gonna demonstrate what we're all about in this region.
Mm-hmm. I've been hearing from nonprofits and organizations across the province about, what the recovery is going to look like, how long it's going to be. Specifically, the YMM Airport up here says it's probably going to be between 3 to 5 years for the sector and themselves to kind of get back to, a sense of normalcy from when before the pandemic. Have you had any chance to speak with maybe Fort McMurray Wood Buffalo Economic Development and Tourism? Maybe just had some talks with administration about, what the estimates projection looks like when we can finally say, we're fully recovered from, this last year and a half?
Yeah, I've talked to a lot of people in the region about that exact issue. When will we be fully recovered? And I think it varies from sector to sector to sector, from business to business, and from circumstance to circumstance. For organizations like mental health, things are not going perfectly right now. The numbers are increasing. Mm-hmm. So if you know anybody who's struggling with post-COVID stress, please encourage them to reach out. So that's an example of a sector that is still under siege right now. They need help and they need support, and it's something I'm certainly going to encourage. There was a new minister that was appointed yesterday, so hopefully that can really tackle that issue. Jason Lawan should be a new minister in that area, helping out that Canadian mental health. Other sectors like the airport, it is going to take time. Businesses, I'm expecting that to ramp up pretty quickly based on the optimism I'm sensing in the region. House sales seem to be improving right now by all accounts that I'm hearing, some of the numbers that I'm getting feedback on. So I think it's going to vary by sector. It's going to vary by whatever organization you're talking about. But I think we're headed in the right direction, which is the main thing. We're going to get back to where we were, and I bet we're going to exceed it in short order. Might take longer for some organizations, but I think we're going to be well positioned for the future in this region.
Don, we know that vaccines will be the key in recovery. When looking at Fort McMurray's numbers, they're around the provincial average, maybe a little bit lower. And when we're looking at the rural areas, they're quite a bit lower, I believe sitting at 46%. And we know, just from your opinion, that the big reason for the low number is just accessibility, as a lot of them still have to drive. A lot of people who live in the rural areas have to drive to Fort McMurray to get the shot. I know that there were a few ministers in town this week. We had the premier up recently with the Willow Square announcement. Have there been any significant talks about getting some mobile vaccine clinics for the rural areas?
Yeah, we had a great meeting with the premier last week. So Premier Kenny was here. And what we talked about with Premier Kenny was specifically that issue, is that we think part of the reason that people are not getting vaccinated in rural areas is access. So let's bring the vaccines to the folks in the rural areas. There's some challenges with that they've described to me, but we think that's going to make a big difference. So we're certainly hoping that the province will take those steps. It's a provincial responsibility. We're certainly going to encourage it and point them in the right direction. But mobile vaccination clinics is exactly one of the techniques that we think will work. We've seen other parts of Canada are trying things like that, and they seem to be working with some success, and that's what we shared. And hopefully the Premier and others will take us up on that request.
Have you been given a timeline from the province on when this could happen? You know, talking about it is one thing, but actually seeing it happen is another thing.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And I should say that the call that we made for vaccination, mobile vaccinations, actually goes back months and months and months. So this isn't a new thing for us to be requesting. We think that the more alternatives that people have to get vaccines, the more likely they are to get them. So we've actually got a long list of suggestions, but mobile vaccination clinics is something we've just reasserted last week with the premier. And the province has never given us a timeline as to when steps like that might happen. But, you know, I'm nevertheless feeling optimistic. I know they're very committed to getting vaccines to every Albertan. So I'm feeling optimistic, but I don't have a timeline, and they didn't commit to a timeline.
We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but when we come back, we're going to finish our talk with Mayor Don Scott.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Mayor Don Scott. And before the break, we were talking about COVID-19, the recovery for the community, as well as getting more vaccines to the rural communities. And Don, we had a council meeting on Tuesday, and we are a little late this week in getting you on the show to talk about it, but there's still a few items I want to chat with you about. So to get as many in as we can, we're going to do a lightning round again. So just going to give you, the topic or the item and just kind of get your thoughts on it. So are you all good?
Sounds good.
All right. So first one, even though it's hot outside, ice jams. And there's going to be a study looking into some potential ice jam equipment. Can you just share a little bit more information on that?
Yeah, I think everybody's heard of the Anthivax program. Anybody that hasn't can just do a search online and see what it's all about. We're looking at the same kind of project up here. We're hearing conflicting information. And we have heard conflicting information about whether those machines are going to work with the kind of system we have up here, with kind of river system and the thickness of the ice. So if there's going to be the investment, people want to make sure it's going to work. So there's just more work being done in that regard.
I know that personal motion that you brought forward when it came to utility boxes, as I believe... If you just go to a utility box all around the region, most of them are pretty unsightly. A lot of them are damaged. And I know that you guys are going to be reaching out to the utility owners to, I guess, make sure that they're fixed. Do we know if there's any safety risks with these boxes at this time?
You know, it's something that I've been talking about for 4 years and trying to get action on. And what we did at the last council meeting was I brought a motion to deal with this in a comprehensive way so that we can start issuing fines or taking other steps. But as an initial step, we're contacting all the utility companies to get these utility boxes in our region finally repaired. So some of the boxes you've seen have beautiful murals on them. They look really good. Other boxes are torn open or bent over and look like they've been run into 100 times. The one that I put on the screen at the council meeting was wide open. All the electrical parts inside were right beside a sidewalk that kids or anybody else could walk by. It's terrible. It's really got to be something that's going to be fixed. And I've tasked the municipality to get this done. Sometimes governments take a long time to get things done. It's something that I've had it, you know, on my radar for a very long time, and I've been talking to administration about, but they are taking action, so I'm glad to see that. If you see a utility box that is broken, please report it to the municipality, the Pulse Plant. We need to get this issue taken care of. We do have municipal staff going around cataloging all the broken utility boxes in our region, and then getting these utility companies to do the right thing, which is have the same pride that we do in our region. Take care of these boxes.
Council is going to be reaching out to the village of Lytton, British Columbia, a motion that was brought forward by Councillor Mike Allen. The community was absolutely devastated by a wildfire. I believe 90% of the village has been destroyed. I know administration has been in talks right now, but I know that Councillor Allen had mentioned that, you know, if there is a recovery for the village, that there could be some good lessons that the council and the municipality can share. What are your thoughts? What kind of things do you think could be very valuable for Lytton moving forward?
You know, we've done a lot of lessons learned reports. Some of those might be helpful, but dealing with insurance companies, we have a lot of advice to give there. Even though it's a different province, I think we're all Canadians. We all share a united purpose in wanting the best for every Canadian. And when we see other Canadians in trouble like this or going through difficulties, we feel it personally. And I know other Canadians reached out to us, so we're reaching out to them in the same way. And if there's help that we can give, then we're going to give it. But they probably need to tell us what would help them the most, because every community is different.
And the last thing I want to chat with you about, Don, the election this year. Have you made a decision on whether you're going to be running or not?
No, but that's going to be a decision to be made very soon. I'm just trying to get through the meetings before the summer break. I didn't think it was appropriate for me to make any sort of an announcement while there was a state of emergency going on in the pandemic. But now that that's all kind of moved forward, and now that we have our final meeting coming up next week before there's a council break for the summer, and then we have another meeting in September, but sometime shortly after this final meeting, I will be making an announcement about the direction. Either way, I would encourage anybody who's considering running for council or mayor, please put your name forward. Democracy works because people put their name forward. The one thing you need above everything else is just a passion and a love for this region, whether it's Fort Chippewa, you know, all the way down to Anzac, Conklin, Fort McMurray. You know, we have an amazing region, and we need good people to represent it. So I'd encourage anyone who's thought about it, if you're not sure what to do, come speak to an existing councillor. There's going to be lots of opportunities. There's several people who are not running this year, so there's a real opportunity for new folks on council. New people is what strengthens a municipality, new ideas. So please consider running if you're hearing this.
All right. Well, Don, as always, we appreciate it when you spare a couple minutes of your time to come on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and take care. Have a great week, everyone. All the best.
Now, that's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters, but make sure to tune into Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon to hear the interviews that matter to you and your community. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode? Download the podcast at mix1037fm.com.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.